that structure?
Hard. Like diamond.
Or is it like rubber?
Or is it like diamond?
See? Based on the
condition of your structure
will depend how much it can be modified.
But
there is no structure in the world
hard as rock that cannot be modified.
And that is the blessing of God in nature,
that any type of structure can be modified.
So the question arises, what is my structure? How can I modify? These are the two questions arising. Now in ancient India, people were wise. I foolishly used the word structure, and those wise people used the word sanskar.
They used the word sanskar. Not only that, they went a step further and said, this man is foolish, he is talking about, can he describe structure? These wise people could define in details their sanskar. They said that your sanskars are made up of gunas, qualities, sattva, rajas, tamas. You see those wise people? Their definition and mine, how foolishly I am talking, structure. So, they said, what we call structure is sanskar, and the texture of that sanskar is made up of three qualities, sattva, rajas, tamas, and depending on the quantity of each, or the proportion of each, will the structure be flexible or hard? That is what those ancient wise people told us. And they said, don't be worried, however hard the structure, inflexible the structure, these three qualities are subtle. They are not hard. You have to change the proportions, and the hardness of your structure will change. This is how it is. Sanskar. Now, because they were very wise, they said, don't be carried away by the word sattva, and don't be carried away by the word tamas. Otherwise tomorrow we'll try to throw all the tamas out and bring all the sattva in. And that will be imbalance. There must be a balance of these three qualities. And when the three qualities will be in balance, there will be no scar anywhere. Understand? Simple. You follow me, no? Or if you're feeling half asleep, you can rest for 10 minutes. I felt money. Okay. So, what did the wise people say? They used the word sanskar, they used the three qualities and said that they should be balanced. You balance the three qualities and then there will be no scars anywhere, either on your psychic nature or on your own physical body. There will be no scars. And if there are no scars, we have learned a little earlier, you can tune in. Okay. The whole purpose of yoga is to tune in. So here the question is, the structure, how is it created, how can it be modified? So, created, we are not aware, but we have created. And the result is what we are. Now we want to modify. We'll modify by balancing the three qualities. Sattva, rajas.
What is the balance required?
Heard the question? You heard the question?
Good question.
Heard the question? Now I will ask another question to answer that question. How much sugar you put in your tea that is good for you to drink? Will it be same in all? No. This balance has to be different in each one. You get my point? It has to be different, but balance has to be maintained. A certain proportion has to be maintained. Just that you might take 2 spoons, I may take 1/4 spoon, and yet the tea is as sweet to both of us. This proportion has to be individual. When God has made this left and thumb impression not the same in 6,000 million people of the world, how can structure be the same? How can it be? Has to be different. You don't take the same amount of sugar, or don't take the same amount of salt, because your proportions are different. You have to find your own proportion.
Average proportion should be there, no?
For average people. Yeah. And average people don't come to the park.
At 12:45 I will break for tea.
Peace, peace.
All things structure can be done at any time they like.
What's the question?
No. Altering of the structure.
Altering the structure, can it be done
in
any lifetime or at any time in the lifetime? This very moment is the moment to change that structure. This very moment. Because the Chinese proverb says, one outgoing breath does not guarantee an incoming breath. See the Chinese proverb? Beautiful, no? One outgoing breath does not guarantee another incoming breath. So you might say, tomorrow, by that time the breath may not be there. So, but your question should be answered in the manner you ask. It can be done at any point in time, at any moment. But for that moment to come, you have to be aware that it needs a modification. That structure needs a change, a modification. Unless we are aware, we can't do these things. See, as I said earlier, structure is formed when we are not aware. But to modify a structure, we should be aware. So the moment we are aware that our structure should be modified, that is the moment to modify. You get that? So we have answered more or less this question? You know, perhaps in our last meeting, no? I talked about, you know, the children's game stuck, and you see what you are thinking at that moment, what your thought is at that moment. Freeze yourself and think what you have been thinking, and do that 20, 30 times a day so that you know which thought is predominant or which types of thoughts are predominant. That means observing the drifts of our brain. So the question is, when we freeze from time to time and look at what the mind is doing, what do we mean by observing the modifications? So what was the practice I had told you to go through? 20, 30 times a day. Suddenly stop and say, now what was I thinking? And make a note. In the whole day, 20, 30 times, where was I? Was I in my emotional center, in my intellectual center, in my sex center? Where was I? What was the predominant thought? 20, 30 times that I checked myself, what was I thinking? It gives you to know in what direction normally you are brooding or daydreaming. Because that is all we do. We are brooding or daydreaming. We may be writing letters, or we may be doing accounts, or we may be typing a letter. Whatever it is, our mind is still oscillating. And the oscillations are along certain important lines based on each individual thinking. A Maharaji may be mostly on his interest, on the loans he has given. A minister may be thinking how best next to make a few crores. You see, all may have a particular tendency mostly, though they may think of so many other things, but if they check themselves 20, 30 times a day, they will know where the mind normally goes. Whether after a beautiful girl, whether to make a house, whether to seek a job and change your job. So many things. Where is your mind now roaming most of the day? Having come to some conclusion, refer the 8 corrective exercises and correct these sort of drifting of the mind. This is the point that is raised here. And last question on this page. One more time, tell us how to look at the prism. Just look at the prism. There's a prism exercise in our book, no? Where? You know where?
130 on the
right.
Huh? 140.
140. Don't worry, I'll read for you. Before I give you the prism exercise, I've given a quotation there. Why? If you understand the quotation, you understand the prism exercise. What does the quotation say? I will read out for you. Where judgment ceases and the word is mute. Where judgment ceases and the word is mute. He is good, he is bad. All internal communications, correspondence, dialogues, the word is mute. And the unconceived lies partless and alone. The unconceived lies partless and alone. There came no form or any mounting voice. There is no face before you. No voice before you. There only was silence and the absolute. Before you start your prism exercise, you must understand it. The quotations are not given because they are good. They are given because they tell you what the meaning of the exercise is. So when I ask you to just look into the prism, the quotation says, there is no voice, there is no form, there is nothing conceived, there is no judgment, there is no word. You get my point? So when you look into the prism, when you just look into the prism, your mind must
be according to the quotations given there. I'll read out to you again. Where judgment ceases and the word is mute and the unconceived lies pathless and alone, there came no fog or any mounting voice, there only were silence and the absolute. So, how much is required from you when you do the prison exercise? Prison exercise is not just done like that. So much is expected from you before you spread your handkerchief and put your prism there. This isn't expected from you. That your mind will not roam. Your mind will not roam. In your mind there will be no judgment for anything, there will be no dialogue for anybody. And the purpose of the prism, just look exercise, is silence and the absolute. That is what is expected from you when you begin your prism exercise. You are in a hurry, you spread it. No, won't do. 5 minutes over, I have done my prism exercise. No! It cannot even begin. So just look. I can see you. But when I just look at you, I know your past, present and future. Your character, your emotions, your qualities, everything. I can see you and know nothing. But when I just look at you, I know everything about you. Before that state is reached by me, I take the help of prism. Understand? Prism will help me to reach that state, to just look. And once I learn just to look, there is nothing in the world so big that I cannot penetrate. Nothing. Not only what you think now, but what you will say 10 years later. It is there in you today. That is the power of just look. We are not indulging in physical exercises, we are on the path. And our exercises are of a different character altogether. We are not strengthening our eyes when we look into the prism. The power to just look is immense. And the very first exercise of the prism gives you a penetrative power, the power to penetrate through the universe. If you are honest with yourself, if you maintain what the quotation is saying, remember the quotation when you sit for prism, what is expected from you. With that mind, approach the prism. Most of you put the prism and expect that it should disappear. It is there to help you, not to disappear. See? It is there to tell you your mind is roaming. I am still here, your mind is roaming. Because we have not followed the quotation. If you have followed the quotation, if you are sincerely on the prism, not even for 5 minutes, even for 5 seconds, if you just look, you develop a penetrative gaze. It is not to know, be a fortune teller. It is there to know in detail what you are suffering from, what your structure is, what your sanskars are, what difficulties you are going through, in what manner I can help you, all these is coming with that knowledge of the prism, that prism gives. It is a means to an end. And then we discard it. After the third exercise, we discard the prism. See? Then we use our own internal prism in the fourth and the fifth exercise. This is what we are on. We are not here on physical exercise. Not one is a physical exercise. Including the refining exercise, not one is a physical exercise. All these exercises are for the path. For the psychic nature. For the thinking instrument. For the scars. We are always on this with our exercises. We are not going beyond this. Otherwise we are not following the sutras. If you are doing any other exercise, it does not help us to do this. You get my point? So the prism is a means to this. When you just look, you are alone. You are absolutely alone. They say that in a city or even in a village, there is a chance of two things colliding. But the star is so much alone, there is so much space around one single star that there is no possibility of another star colliding. It is so much alone. When you can be alone with yourself like a star that is alone, that there is no possibility of a collision in thought, even, then you have done your first prism exercise. Get the point? This is the prism exercise. So whatever thoughts you may have otherwise had regarding prism exercise, please revise them from today. So this is the last question on this page. A very rebellious question. This is a very rebellious question. You know why rebellious? He is telling me, why have you mentioned in your book like that? I like it. He says, sutra number one in your book, you have mentioned that the revised instructions for the age are as under. On the other hand, you also say that instructions in yoga are timeless. How these two are reconciled. Next question. What does the question ask? I have mentioned in the first sutra, sutra by sutra translation, having systematically compiled the sutras and taught his accepted disciples, says Patanjali, wishes to convey that not only is this the revised text, but the final understanding of yoga for his age. The Yoga Sutra will thus be finalized and revised in each age, like our modern age, according to the context of that age, because they are scientific, timeless, and have unfathomable depths. He says, I am contradicting when I say they are timeless. If they are timeless, why are they revised? My first duty towards all of you, I repeat again, my first duty towards all of you is to confuse you sufficiently. Is to confuse you sufficiently. If you are not confused, you will not ask.
If you are confused, you will ask. So my first job is to confuse you. But the purpose is not only to confuse you, to make you ask and understand. Now, if a five-year baby, when it asks questions, Papa, why it is like this? Mama, why it is like this? We give it a reply. And that same child is 15 years old, we give a different type of reply. And that child grows up, learns, is educated, and talks to another educated person, the two talk in a different manner on the same subject. Yet there is no untruth at any point. The revised truth is given at every point of understanding. The understanding point of humanity is to be taken into account. And simple things have to be said first, more complicated things later, still more. It is the same route along which we are going. But it is from lesser to higher, to still higher, to ultimate route we go. That is why the sutras are so complicated, because they are timeless. That means not even 50,000 years later, science will be able to say more than they say today, or they have said 1,000 years ago. The understanding of the sutras will be according to the understanding of the age of humanity. You get my point? When Buddha came to India, he had to talk in very high terms because the people had already passed to a high grade of yoga. See? When Christ came to the Middle East, those people, we have to tell them in very simple, do not cheat your neighbor, do not steal. You know, these things are not told in India. You see? Buddha never said that. Why? Because the people knew you would be a fool if you were to say all that. But Christ had to tell them, don't do this, treat your another's wife like this. All this he had to say because the people could only take that much. Not that he didn't know the truth. He could have given much higher truth, but that will pass over the head. So, however high the truth, noble the truth, timeless the truth, to impart, you must use that level where it can be understood. You get that? 2 years later, when we meet here, perhaps I may talk in a different language. Because you may have imbibed a lot more by that time. You see, and 2 years earlier I would have said in a very simple language, not using even this language. So, truth that is timeless, unchanging, as the sutras are, has to be modified and revised according to the understanding of the age of humanity. You get my point? So the two have to meet. You get my point? Another challenging point. He is a revolutionary, this man. Another challenging point. The Sutras of Patanjali. PSRB. Where is it? He has not written where is it. I am telling you where is it. PSRB and refining exercise do not appear to have been mentioned. When you take 1 liter of milk, do you see butter in it? Do you see butter in it? Do you see ghee in it? Do you see curd in it? Do you see buttermilk in it? Do you see nothing? They are not there. They are all there, no? One man had to find out one day. Now everybody knows it is there. one man had to point out and say, look, look, this only looks male, but there's curd in it, there's buttermilk in it, there's ghee in it. And he will say, where? I can't see, this is milk only. So the sutras are like a liter of milk. Somebody is pointing at feast, rhythmic breathing, somebody is pointing at refining exercises. One day everybody will know it. Somebody one day has to point out, even at the risk of being called a fool. You understand me? The sutras of Patanjali, the 3 SRB and the refining exercises do not appear to have been mentioned. Can we find these exercises in particular sutras? For your information, I have mentioned certain sutras for exercises, refining exercises. I have mentioned certain sutras for 3-step rhythmic breathing. I have mentioned sutras for posture. The sutras are there. And then I have taken out, I have separated the ghee, the buttermilk. Huh? Okay. You see, the sutras are very difficult thing. They are not a novel one can read. However seriously you read them 10 times, the sutras cannot be understood. They should be spoken by somebody to make you understand. See, the sutras are very difficult. And said Patanjali, when he spoke to his accepted disciples means those on whom he saw some hope of the future, he then took aside and he imbibed them, regimented them into certain techniques and methods. These then followed by word of mouth. Till today, the sutras are only translated. They are translated. Nobody has gone into it and said, look, he means to say, ghee is here, butter is here, this is here, that is here. Nobody has said that. Because it has been a practice in India to learn by way of mouth and to convey by way of mouth to some few selected people. So when you go to a printed sutra or a translated sutra, you will never find it. If you go to a person who has been lucky enough to have heard from somebody's mouth, that man may be able to tell. One of those very few lucky person was this stupid person. And the time has come. And after hearing it by word of mouth, I requested whether I could put it in print. And I have got the permission to put it in print and face the music of the world. I am not worried about the music that I will hear. I am here worried and bothered about a few who are sincere and want to learn. If they learn, if a million people got to abuse me, I don't mind. If a few were to learn and achieve something. See? That is why for the first time in print you will see somebody has put things that are not normally translated. Take up any book on Yoga Sutra, you will not find these things. No. But I have not hesitated to put it in print because anyone may come across it. Who knows? See? And if even one can come across it and be benefited, I am happy. And I have specifically put somewhere that these sutras give a pointer to refining exercise. These sutras give a pointer to rhythmic breathing. These sutras give a pointer to corrective exercise. These sutras give a pointer to this. Now the corrective exercises are very clearly mentioned there. When this type of thought come to you, the opposite has to be brought in. And that is our corrective exercise. And I have given you the details of how it should be done. You see? Yet no one has even mentioned about corrective exercise. See? Which is so obviously in the sutras. Repeatedly in the sutras. I am not worried what others have done. I am not worried about what others will say. My duty is to convey what I know, because I don't want to take the things I know to the grave with me. Understand? That is the whole purpose in printing this book. That whatever little I may know, I may put it in black and white so that somebody can read and follow. Clear? Alright, we'll break. We'll break? No. By this repetition, check of the repetition and see how much we can correct ourselves. Because correcting ourselves is also a minor step towards removing scars. And that is the purpose. When Ramji came towards Kanyakumari, wanted to cross over to Lanka, there was so much water in between and there was no bridge. Somebody gave the idea, take a stone and write Ram, put it on water, it will float and it will form a bridge. So they all started doing it and bridge was taking shape. Somebody told Ram about this. Ram picked up a stone, wrote Ram, put it on water and it sank. Whether you are writing Tavariyaji and that stone floats, I don't.
I'm struck.
Anyway, where do we begin now? We go further?
Yeah.
He had been to Alps, to Rockies, to Himalayas, and now he's content to come to Western Ghats. Okay? No question? No? You think? Go further?
I will not put on my glasses.
Since the light of religious scriptures, it is mentioned that any small endeavor in the spiritual field is not wasted. You seem to imply that unless there is wholehearted effort, white heat, there is little hope of breakthrough for many lives to come. Please deliver. Please clarify. My friend here, in the question itself, has contradicted himself. I'll repeat again. In Gita and other religious scriptures, it is mentioned that any small endeavor in the spiritual field is not wasted. I agree that on the spiritual field, even a small endeavor is not wasted. Now we read the second part. You seem to imply that unless there is
wholehearted efforts right on, there is little hope of breakthrough for many lives to come. If you are content with a little effort, be content. If you want a breakthrough, I demand white hot efforts. Am I clear? But if you are content with a small endeavor, be content. But if you want a quantum jump, a breakthrough, your own words are music, then I want white hot efforts. Agree? We can't have both the things. We can't have great progress with small endeavor. I agree, nothing is wasted on the path. The bad and the good all accumulate on in life. Both give results. But if we are on the path and if we are content with small endeavor, we must wait for about 20, 13 million years before you progress 10 feet forward. Because the endeavor is small. If the endeavor is small, the result is small. But if you want a breakthrough, and breakthrough is a very big word we have used. See? If you want to go to the other side, to the other bank of the river of life, if you want to cross over from this bank to that, and if the river is in full flood, no small endeavor will do. You'll be able to wash your feet only, standing on one bank. But to cross over, to break through, you know what effort it will need to cross that river? Intense, isn't it? That reminds me, when about 18, 19 years old, I had been to Nasik to learn agriculture. Well, I did not learn agriculture. I only instigated the laborers who were working, children for 2 annas, women for 3 annas, and men for 4 annas from sunrise to sunset to ask for more wages, and the manager asked me to go home. So I didn't learn anything there. But it was monsoon and the river went right round the field. There were 400 acres of land and it was in flood. I was a very strong boy and I knew swimming well, but there was one Marathi boy of my age. He said, "Can you swim across this river straight? Because the flood water would make you land somewhere there." He went there straight and came back straight. That was not a small endeavor. That was a tremendous effort. See? So for tremendous breakthrough, you require white hot. Of course, if you do every 8 days, 15 days, your refining exercise and forget the rest of the days, even that will help in the long run. You get my point. But if you want to achieve something worthwhile, then really white hot deed is necessary. As I have told you in my last meeting, some of you were there, I can honestly keep my hand on my heart and say in the last 50 years, I have not missed one day. I'm afraid none of you can say that for a year. You see, this is why it thought happened. I may not be doing the things I want to do, I'm doing something else. But whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm supposed to do, the harder, there is no break of one day. See? So unless it's a bite odd endeavor, not simple, small endeavor, see, the results will not. I told my master,